Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, Drew Monkman. Each week at this time, we visit with an author or sometimes an editor or publisher from our region. We hope to find out a little about his or her life and what prompts them to write. We give them an opportunity to read from their work, and today we're very pleased to have Drew Monkman join us. Welcome, Drew.
Thank you.
Drew Monkman is a retired French immersion teacher, naturalist, and writer whose nature column, Our Changing Seasons, appears regularly in the Peterborough Examiner. He is the author of three books. Two of these explore what is happening in the natural world each month of the year. They are Nature's Year in the Co-Authors, published in 2002, and Nature's Year, Changing Seasons in Central and Eastern Ontario, published in 2012. Drew also co-authored The Big Book of Nature Activities, A Year-Round Guide to Outdoor Learning, in 2016, with Jacob Broddenberg, Executive Director of Camp Kawartha. The book is the winner of four awards, including the Nautilus Book Award, which is a major American award for environmental writing. So, Drew, you were a teacher for many years. So before we get to your books, tell us a little about some of the ways that you engaged your own students with nature.
Yes, well, I certainly made a point of getting outside with the class several times a week, let's say before or after recess for 5 or 10 minutes, or for more extended walks in the neighborhood or in our schoolyard naturalized area. One of my responsibilities at the school was taking care of our naturalized area, which essentially was an outdoor classroom, still is an outdoor classroom. So we spent a lot of time there doing all kinds of different activities, most of them related to the curriculum, but also just going and exploring and sitting and watching and seeing what we could find.
Yeah, because kids like doing that, just looking at bugs. And
oh, very much so. Very much so.
Picking them up.
You know, I tried to integrate nature as much as I could into the various subject areas, you know, as a theme for books in English. Or if we were doing science, you know, let's say a unit on sound, focusing on the sounds of birds or frogs. So multiple ways to tie it in. Mm-hmm. We had a nature table in the classroom that the kids contributed to regularly. I encouraged them to bring in any manner of show and tell, which often involved almost roadkill, you might say.
Oh, dear. And any live ones in there?
Live ones and some in a state of decomposition at times, but the kids were definitely thrilled with all of this. And we had a monthly nature sheet, too, that I had them complete, which essentially was a list of things to watch for, listen for over the course of the month. They often completed this with their families, too. So I got
a lot of positive feedback
on that.
Yeah, that is a great idea. I might institute that with my grandkids when they come up. So turning to your books then, tell us a little about the first two, the Nature's Year in the Co-Authors and Nature's Year, Changing Season in Central and Eastern Ontario. What do these books cover, and are they for the children too, or are they for adults?
They're really written more for adult, I would say. So the two books are very similar. Nature's Year in Eastern Ontario, Central and Eastern Ontario really is an updated version of Nature's Year in the Co-Authors. Both books apply to all of Central and Eastern Ontario. And what they are a month-by-month almanac of what is happening in the natural world, be it in the birds, the mammals, the amphibians, the reptiles, plants, fungi, the weather, and the night sky.
Oh, yeah.
Listed in some detail as to what to watch for early in the month, in mid-month, later in the month. So at a glance, you really get a sense of, you know, let's say what's happening with bird population. So I'm talking about things like listening for cedar waxwings and American goldfinch. Fall migration for some species, so I list those species that you're most likely to come across. And then for a number of the listed, I provide background information too. So for example, the purpose of insect call. Late July and August is the height of the insect chorus. So why is it that they're calling, and how is it that they're calling? So really, the book sort of answers the question, what is happening now? in central Ontario? What can I see? What can I see in my own backyard? What can I hear? What can I smell? And hopefully inspire people to get out and experience these things.
Or just to explain what they are experiencing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Fabulous. And in your latest book, The Big Book of Nature Activities, that you wrote with Jacob Roddenberg, how would you describe that book?
Well, Jacob and I set out, I would say, to answer the two questions, essentially. What can you do outside, both as an adult, but more so as a child? And also, who will the conservationists of tomorrow be? Jacob and I, like a lot of people, are quite concerned that with all of us, essentially, not just children, spending so much time in front of screens, spending time indoors, and so little time, relatively speaking, outside playing or, you know, not necessarily seriously engaging with nature, but even just outside building forts and exploring and going for hikes. We're concerned that if people do not have the experience of feeling comfortable and getting to know the natural world, that they are not really going to be as concerned with the many threats that the natural world is facing.
Yeah, I think that's a very valid point. And it's not just the children either. So many of their parents are so busy with work and all the other things they have to do, even they don't have time
to spend
outside with or without their children. So I think that's a great premise.
So, yeah, so the book covers the four seasons. It's seasons-based, and the activities relate to what is happening in each season. Here again, like in nature's year, based on the birds, the mammals, the amphibians. So if you have an interest in birds, we propose activities that you can do that are bird-related in each season.
Perhaps you could read us something then from the big book.
Okay, so a number of the activities actually in the big book, and it is a very large book, almost 400 pages, have to do with engaging the senses.
Okay.
So I'm going to read from the summer chapter. So, exploring summer things to do. Summer looks like fireflies lighting up a damp meadow, moths buzzing around the porch light and landing on the screen door, the ever-changing species and colors of roadside flowers. Activity 1, Camouflage Trail. For every step we take in the wild, we miss observing dozens of insects, birds, and even mammals. Nature is the master of camouflage. Here is a game to help you become a better all-around watcher. Mark the beginning and end of a trail through a meadow or forest. Obtain a dozen or more plastic insects. Hide them along the trail, thinking about camouflage as a guide. For example, place a grasshopper on a leaf, or maybe a spider on a stem. Ask the children to count how many they can spot along the trail. Who has the sharpest eye? Summer sounds like the electric buzz of the cicada in the midday heat, the huge chorus of cricket and katydid song in the evening, the quiet dawns of late summer as birdsong disappears, the booming and shaking of thunder on a hot afternoon. Activity 2, Focused Hearing. Take your two hands, squeeze your fingers together, and cup your hands behind your ears. This simple gesture enhances your hearing up to tenfold. Try this. Listen to a natural sound in the distance without your hands. Then slip your hands behind your ears as described. You'll hear a noticeable difference. Your ears have become deer ears, large parabolic dishes that capture sound waves. This is a perfect way to begin learning the sounds of summer insects, many of which are quite faint. Summer tastes like wild strawberries, blackberries, huckleberries, and serviceberries, the new light green growth on the tips of spruce branches, the petals of elderberry flowers, the sweetness of a blade of grass. Activity 3, Nature's Supermarket. Those who harvest the edible wild refer to cattails as nature's supermarket. There are parts of the plant you can harvest in every season. In summer, go to an area where cattails are growing, away from farm fields and roads. Pull one up and you'll notice a white lower portion. Peel away the outer layers until you come to the tender center. If you eat this raw, it will taste very similar to cucumber. If you fry it up, the flavor is reminiscent of corn. Summer smells like the perfume of countless flowers, from milkweed to black locust, freshly cut hay curing in the sun, petrichor, which is the strong scent in the air when rain falls after a dry spell, the strong citrus scent of unripe green walnut husks. Activity 4, make your own perfume. Place a cup of water in a bowl. Add a cup of fresh chopped flower blossoms, leaves, and or buds to the water. You can try milkweed, linden flowers, balsam poplar buds, bergamot leaves, to mention a few. Let the mixture sit overnight. Strain the water through a coffee filter into a clean spray bottle. Spritz over yourself and your friends and enjoy the sweet scent. Summer feels like the refreshing sensation of jumping into a lake, walking barefoot on a beach, a lawn, or even through mud, the soft, wet skin of a frog held in your hand. Activity 5, Muddalicious, the magic of mud therapy. There is a good reason why kids like mud and seem to know this instinctively. Mud actually makes us happier. Mud contains a bacterium which boosts the level of serotonin in our brains. Serotonin is a chemical that helps us feel positive, relaxed, and happy. Make a mud pie. Take an aluminum pie plate and fill it with gooey mud. Decorate the top with flowers, twigs, leaves, and stones. Make imprints by pressing something with texture into the soft mud and then carefully removing it. Try using shells and leaves. Try a mud pit. Take an old wading pool, fill it with a mixture of soil and water until you have a fine goop. Watch the kids wallow. Have a hose handy and give them a good wash before allowing them back in the house.
This year we haven't even needed the kids' pool to do that. My grandchildren were gooping around just in the meadow. It was so muddy. Anyway, that sounds like a lot of fun. Thank you, Drew. We've been talking with Drew Monkman about his books based on nature, and now we'll take a short break.